Like every Monday night, you're checking out Breakfast Soup Raw.
Enjoy as Don, Tony, and Mish spill the soup about pro wrestling, sports, news, and pop culture. Breakfast Soup Raw.
Breakfast Soup Raw.
And now, your host, Mish and Don, Tony.
Dewdrop! Dewdrop versus Becky Lynch, Royal Rumble. And guess what, folks? I have a feeling that my co-host may agree with me. We actually like it. What do you think?
Yeah, it was a good night. Had a lot of fun. Mostly positive, couple of hiccups, but going into Raws in January, this is when you expect everything to kind of ramp up. Yeah. And I think they did a good job tonight. Overall, no real big complaints. There's a little caveat known as Alexa Bliss that I'm sure we'll get into. But for the most part, it was good shit.
Yes,
good.
Absolutely. Yeah. We're on the road to Royal Rumble. And remember, everyone, the $50 million pay-per-view, premium live event, which is a Peacock thing, that's Saudi Arabia, February 19th. And then after that, you're about 6 weeks away to WrestleMania. So some big things are going to be going down. Do not worry that Bianca Belair is not going to be facing Becky at the Royal Rumble. Right now, my two favorites to win the Royal Rumble is Bianca Belair and Naomi. That's what I talked about over the weekend. I still feel that way about Bianca. You know, I know some people may not like it right now, but if you save it for WrestleMania and she's got two WrestleMania moments 2 years in a row, I'll take it. I'll take it. But we'll get into Raw. We will get into a few other news tidbits. And I want to welcome everyone to Breakfast Soup Raw for Monday night. Is this the 10th? Yes, January 10th, 2022. I am Don Tony, and he is
Anthony Michelle Thomas. What's going on, everyone?
Not too bad. Not too bad. You know, I want to just get this right out of the way. Thank you so much for the Christmas gifts. You know, for everyone out there, one of them directly probably affects all of you because this guy is challenging me to another one chip challenge. The 2021 version. The chip is still good. So we did one about 2 years ago. We will do it again. So in the very near future.
Yeah, we did it in the middle of COVID when we were all locked down.
Yeah.
I did two chips. You did one chip, and it was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
And I figured I'd keep pace again. I think this time I might do two or three chips.
You're nuts. I ate a pint of Rebel ice cream that night. I still remember it.
You know what else we got to do? The one thing I didn't throw in there, but I was talking about it with some of the friends and stuff like that. The one thing you didn't do that I did was the Kopi Luwak coffee.
I haven't done that yet. I actually don't mind. I want to try that. I really do. Yeah, I got a new coffee machine not too long ago. I would love to try it. Seriously.
Do you use whole beans or are you a ground guy?
I use K-cups, but I also use whole beans. I grind coffee and I put them in the little pods, you know, the ground coffee. I mean, I do a little bit of everything. It just depends on my level of laziness for the time I'm looking for the caffeinated beverage. But yeah, I would definitely love to do that. In fact, I think I got to go on Amazon because I know Amazon does have it, and maybe I'll brew some. We'll do some for like next week or something. I'm good.
Okay.
I'm good.
Cool. Yeah. No, I'm totally fine with
it. He got me this book. Now, for anybody that is older or a little younger than me, you might remember this book when we were a kid. You know, the book where you were reading something. It says, if you want to take a left, turn to page 22. If you want to take a right, turn to page 26. If you want to go straight, then turn to page 40. So I used to love these books back in the day. So
yeah,
he got me one of these.
A first generation, first release of the original Choose Your Own Adventures.
Yes.
Back when we were kiddos. I think that one came out in the 70s, I believe. Might have come out a little bit earlier than that. I'm not 100% sure. But yeah, that was a first printing. So I figured, even though it's a little beaten up,
1979.
Yeah, but it's been around. We all know what it was. You know.
Speaking of 1979, who could ever forget? Disco Demolition Night. Yes. Steve Dahl, do you think I'm disco? He actually got me the record. So, got the record also. Yes, I do spin records too. And by the way, everyone, ever tell you about my painting? Ever tell you about my painting? Ooh, I like this one. One dog goes one way, the other dog goes the other way, and the guy's saying, what do you want from me? Right? Yeah, that is the actual quote from Goodfellas. I will tell you this. Don't get mad at this, but I may actually replace the frame. I'm looking at the wrong screen. I may get the blue frame because when she had the painting on Goodfellas, she actually had a blue frame. So I may get a blue frame for it and then take this frame, and I got to frame that Daphne drawing that Tim Tapp sent me.
Oh, there you go.
So, yeah. Nice. So Goodfellas, represent it, man. This is heavy. So thank you. Thank you.
Yeah, I'm real sorry. I guess some people are saying that my audio is low. I cranked it up a little bit just now. I'm not sure if that helps, but... And for people that listen to us on the Discord, obviously, if you join us with the Patreon Discord, the easy thing is if I'm a little low on your end, you can easily raise me up. You know, that's one of the nice benefits of Discord when we're doing those Discord recordings, even on Tuesdays.
Or you could just ask me to increase the gain.
Or you could just raise them up personally because everybody has different levels on their headphones and stuff.
Yeah.
You know,
I just here's Mish, and I will raise the gain. So just
very good.
So what'd you think of Raw overall while I adjust your audio?
Overall, it was really good, dude. I was actually having a really good time. I enjoyed the opening with Brock Lesnar and Paul and then MVP and Bobby. I really didn't get that MVP Paul Heyman moment that I've been looking for, but I see it on the horizon. I thought it was a nice little nod that they brought out Cedric and Shelton. They've kind of put that into rest because that's been one of those weird little storylines in the background that people forgot or they really didn't talk about, how the Hurt Business came out there to protect Bobby Lashley not that long ago, and it was never reciprocated. So tonight they kind of closed the gap on that. They made it very clear that Bobby Lashley doesn't want anybody's help, although this could be a ruse for something later on down the road. I'm not really 100% sure. But I did like the fact that Bobby and Brock Lesnar had a really good promo set tonight. Brock put him in his place. It sounded good. It looked good. Bobby wasn't stumbling too bad. Like, sometimes I don't like Bobby behind the mic. I think that's why MVP is so fucking wonderful, because that guy can control a conversation so well. But MVP doesn't need to pour on the gas when you have Brock and Bobby going out there and doing it themselves. So the show opened up really strong, and I had a good time with that, DT.
Knock, knock. Who's there? Bobby. Bobby who?
No.
Exactly.
I never thought that Brock Lesnar would be cutting a knock-knock joke in Philadelphia. I was laughing my ass off.
I was. I thought that was great, man. Yeah. You know, as far as the situation with the Hurt Business, you know, I said, what does the Hurt Business and Samoa Joe have in common? You know, they both, you know, were basically gone two times in the last year. I don't know, man. See, this is the thing. Bobby Lashley was out there by himself when Seth Rollins and Kevin Owens attacked Bobby Lashley a couple of weeks ago. Right. We didn't see Cedric and Shelton come out there to make the save. We really have not seen that much interaction. So if Shelton and Cedric would not have been out there today, it would have made no sense whatsoever. Like, no one would have ever thought anything. No one would have said tonight, how come they didn't come out there? But the fact that they attacked Bobby Lashley after the Brock Lesnar segment further goes with what you and I have been a little bit concerned about, and that is turning Bobby Lashley into a babyface. And it seems more and more they are leaning towards that. But I tell you, it's almost like Bizarro Land, because Seth Rollins is technically a heel right now. But I tell you, Seth Rollins, more and more, the fans are getting into him. You know, the guy's willing to go on both shows. The guy's facing Roman Reigns. The guy is just entertaining. And, you know, there's a lot of blurred lines right now. But the Brock Lesnar, man, I tell you, this it gives me flashbacks of right before he left to go play with the Minnesota Vikings. Because right before that, remember when he pushed Zach Allen down the flight of stairs?
Yeah.
He started cutting promos on television. Right. I mean, he always cut a little bit. But right before he left, he just started getting so charismatic on the mic. And everybody's like, whoa, where's this been? And then he left. So Brock doing it right now, it just shows you that Brock doesn't need Paul Heyman as much as he used to. But, you know, they've been together off and on for 20 years.
Right. Now, it's more than just an on-screen gimmick at this point. Those two guys, you can tell that they're friends. And it comes through the TV screen. It comes through the storylines. It comes through Brock and Paul Heyman's, you know, interchanging promos. Like, they do very well together. They're very comfortable with each other. Even with that promo on Friday, which I know you've already talked about SmackDown, but I did want to throw this out there. With Paul Heyman breaking down with Roman Reigns going, but you're my tribal chief. I laughed my ass off.
I love you.
Brock's like, shut up. Shut up, Paul. It was great, though. And it was fun to watch. And even though it had to do nothing with Bobby Lashley tonight, it was more of that, here's that exchange that Paul Heyman and Brock Lesnar are so comfortable with, that SmackDown, Raw, hell, they could put Brock Lesnar on NXT with Paul Heyman, and it would just fit. These two guys work wonderfully together. I know the Paul Heyman guy has been a thing that's been retorted for years. I mean, CM Punk was a Paul Heyman guy. Michael McGillicuddy was a Paul Heyman guy. But at the end of the day, Brock really is the Paul Heyman guy. And they work wonderfully together. And this segment that opened up Raw really proved that. It was good shit. And, you know, that's what we want.
And look, anybody that has seen the verbal exchanges in good feuds, Edge and Miz, CM Punk, MJF, you do have nights where one person will dominate, or some people will say owned the segment. And then usually it's reciprocated the next time around. So even though Brock Lesnar handed Bobby Lashley his ass tonight, calling him a Brock Lesnar wannabe, I didn't even know who you were until I saw you at day one. You know, I mean, hilarious. He's just killing him. And he's like, if I would have known you already, I would have beaten you already. The wonderful thing about it is it doesn't feel scripted.
No, and you know what the best part was, is because Bobby Lashley can't match Brock and Paul Heyman on the mic. Bobby Lashley did what we expected him to do. When Hurt Business attacked him, they allowed Savage Bobby Lashley to come out there and beat the shit out of both of them, which is what we expect from Bobby Lashley. There's nobody in the chat room. There's nobody that thinks that Bobby Lashley is a ace fucking promo, because it's not true. That's why we loved MVP so much, because he was able to fill in the gaps that Bobby Lashley couldn't do. But Bobby Lashley is absolutely a savage guy. And when they threw out the Hurt Business tonight in order to push the fact that he was pissed off at Brock, but he couldn't fucking retaliate, it was awesome. It was really a hot way to start the show. I was, like I said, tonight was a real good night, and this was the start, DT.
Yeah. And, you know, I want to reiterate something that I said two times this weekend. You know, people playing semantics and whining that, oh, what happened to the roster split? You know, we're getting good shit right now. And that's what matters. I figured it out with some people. I figured out that when bullshit news pops out there, even though you know it's bullshit, people will react to it and talk about it and do segments about it because they know it's a bullshit story. So if they treat it as a legitimate news story, since they didn't actually create the story, when they dispel it and put it down and rip it apart, it makes them look like a genius. Yeah. I'll give you an example. Hulk Hogan. And by the way, we are going to talk about Mickie James. I know a lot of you, but remember, just keep in mind, you know, I already got into a long rant about Mickie James over the weekend, but we'll talk about it later. And I want to clarify something about the announcement on Raw tonight with Mickie James in a little bit. I know some people were in a little bit of an uproar, like they didn't name drop, you know, Impact Knockouts champion. We'll discuss that in a little bit. We have some legit stuff to talk about, but yeah, I'll give you a case in point with Hulk Hogan. I got a gem for you. Now, I'm blocked from Hogan, not only on Twitter, but on Facebook. When I went to look at the page, I couldn't access it. I thought it was taken down. I didn't realize I was blocked there, too. So Hogan has had some weird comments about COVID and the vaccines. Yeah. And somebody made a little joke, like as if they were playing Jeopardy. And they said, I'll take the jab for $500, Alex. Because here in New York, they pay you to get the booster shot, you know, as long as you do right. it through New York
City.
Well,
they do that here in Chicago, too, in different ways. Yeah.
So Hulk Hogan comes up with this gem that I had to share with everybody out there. And it does break my heart because I was a Hulkamaniac as a kid. My grandmother loved that man. She was buried in a casket with a Hulk Hogan figure in her hands. That she was a diehard. Now, this is 1991 when she died. So this is obviously before all, you know, the nonsense that came about. But, you know, it's just, it disappoints me to see. I don't believe that he's racist. And I do believe that he has learned from his missteps and some of the outlandish shit that he said in the past. But I also feel that he is, you know, just because he's got a great physique and one of the greatest wrestling entertainers of all time, doesn't mean that he ever graduated high school, you know, or college with a 4.0 or 3.0. About this person that said they would take the jab, this is an actual quote from Hulk Hogan today. 100% Betty and Sydney were also jabbed, but they're dropping like flies. They'll never say it. This Matarazz thinks that Betty White at 99 years old and Sidney Poitier at 94 years old died because of COVID-related, even though they were vaccinated. What's wrong with this man?
There's still a lot of controversy surrounding the vaccinations as a whole. When Betty White passed, I remember following some of the social media threads, and I saw people posting news articles from Calgary saying that people in Calgary that are vaccinated, there's more vaccinated people in hospitals in Calgary than non-vaccinated people. And
well, that makes sense, because if 95% is vaccinated, that means 95% of all the people are vaccinated. So if
they weren't using it that way, they were right. using it as saying that the vaccinations are as dangerous, if not more so, than actually contracting COVID. Right. So, I mean, this is a conversation we've had multiple times over the last few years about politics surrounding this disease and at the same time controversy surrounding the vaccinations. I wouldn't necessarily say that Hogan is somebody that I would go to for COVID advice, you know? So, I mean, if that's the way he feels, right. If that's the way he feels, just think of it as this is a guy who's a little out of touch that only goes based upon the media that he watches, which is probably one-sided and probably says some horrific shit if he feels that way. And doesn't actually try to educate himself with both sides of the story, doesn't probably educate himself with a lot of things dealing with this. So, I mean, I understand what you're saying, but if anybody's taking Hogan's word or Hogan's advice on COVID or vaccinations, maybe you should rethink that course of action.
He's just a fool. To think that a 99-year-old died because she was vaccinated, it's just...
I get it. It's just Hulk Hogan is not the guy you go to for COVID discussions or advice. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like there's not too many, you know, I guess there's a few wrestlers I'd go to, you know, who probably would understand really well, a guy like Glenn Jacobs, because not only does he have to worry about himself and his family, but he has a whole town to worry about too. So
on both sides of the aisle too. Sure. Absolutely. All right. Just to Ricky Vasquez, yesterday I spent a great deal talking about the passing of Bob Saget. So if you want to check out the show, maybe if we have some time later, we could talk about it again. You know, but obviously, you know, we want to get right into what, you know, the news of the day, and that is Raw. So just to get into some other tidbits from tonight's Raw, this was a shocker. Now, yes, we are on the road to WrestleMania, but look, I'm going to throw a little curveball here. I'm not saying it's going to happen, but it's something everybody needs to think about in the back of their mind. Yesterday on the show, or Saturday, I came up with two match ideas for Saudi Arabia on February 19th. February is usually Elimination Chamber. We don't know if they can actually fly the Elimination Chamber all the way to Saudi Arabia. I would think that they could because they fly it to different states already. I mean, it's just a matter of the venue if they can construct it. But the thing is, you know, with the $50 million pay-per-view, you know they're going to pull out extra stops and give us really, really good shit that they may not normally do on a regular pay-per-view because of the Saudi Arabia. They want to renew this deal. You know, the closer we get to the end of this Saudi Arabia deal, the more WWE's going to spice it up. This way, when the deal is over, the Crown Prince is, you know, he's knocking on Vince's door. You know, let's renew the deal. I'd get 5 more years. No, 50 million, you know, times have changed. You know, we got Biden, COVID, recession, economy, 70 million. You know, so... Right. One match I threw out there was the Usos versus the Dudleys. I think that may happen in Saudi Arabia. I also threw the idea of possibly them teasing Roman versus Brock, title for title. I'm not saying it's going to happen, just an idea. So now I lead to this. Tonight on Raw, the Alpha Academy beat RK-Bro for the tag titles. Now, personally, I am happy for Alpha Academy. They beat RK-Bro not too long ago, and people with the usual, oh, once again, the challengers pinned the champions, and that's how to, well, guess what? The challengers pinned the champions again when it mattered with the titles, something that WWE does not do all that often. This is Otis's first championship, and I think this is Chad Gable's maybe third. I know he was a tag team champion with Robert Roode. Actually, I think it was tag team champion with Robert Roode, tag team champion with Jason Jordan. I think it was SmackDown and NXT. So this might be a fourth championship for Chad Gable. But, you know, we've been wanting to see, like, some lower card stars elevated a little bit. I'm thinking RK-Bro could very well regain these titles in Saudi Arabia because it's a selling point. Hey, Crown Prince, title change. Oh, I like that. RK-Bro, get the title. Instead of a title defense victory in Saudi Arabia, give me title win. Titles change. You know what I mean? So there's plenty of time for them still to do the breakup and the possible match for WrestleMania, because that would still be February 19th. They could keep the titles for a couple of weeks and then drop them. But what do you think about American Alpha winning those titles tonight?
I mean, it's an interesting way to do it. I would expect that if Alpha Academy was going to have a longer run, they might not have won the titles on a random Raw. I understand, you know, the reasoning behind it, because eventually you're going to get the good feels of RK-Bro winning it back. But I don't know. It kind of feels a little bit tropey. But I'm actually more curious. Besides that, you mentioned the Dudleys wrestling. Where did you come up with that one from?
The Usos suddenly using 3D and then using tables on SmackDown. Them suddenly doing Dudley stuff. I get this. I just threw it out there. You know, and I know what will happen. In a week, if that continues in a week, you'll see a couple of people that'll post it and they'll get 15,000 likes out of it. Like I said, I don't do things to get viral.
I was just curious, dude, because I mean, that's a hell of a call. That's a left field, you know?
That's just my mind thinking outside the box. I don't know if that's going to happen. It's just ideas. Right. It's not reporting news. But you know that they're going to pull out some extra stops. And I'm thinking, okay, February 19th is 5 weeks from now. So American Alpha, you know, they could keep the belts for a month. They announced a rematch in Saudi Arabia, and maybe RK-Bro regain those titles. And then maybe they have a falling out. Maybe that wild prediction you and I said quite a while back, that maybe it's Riddle that turns on Randy, you know, in the end. Not saying it's going to happen, but, you know, maybe they throw a little curveball for everybody.
It would be a curveball because you don't see Riddle with the kind of backbone to be a heel. We've seen Randy Orton as a heel multiple times over his career, and we know that he does well with it. So that could be an interesting move. I mean, give Riddle the chance to be a full-fledged heel, and especially turn it on Randy Orton, too, a guy who's been his mentor for all this time. So it's a good setup.
Yeah. Interesting little storyline change with this. That's why I thought about when you and I talked about Riddle turning a long time ago. The backstage promo tonight, forget the cheesesteak stuff, you know, but when Randy gave instructions to Riddle that when you get in trouble, tag Randy in.
Well, right.
Randy was tagged in and Randy got pinned.
Yeah, Randy lost. Right.
So, you know, people need to remember that little nugget in that backstage segment because that may actually come back later on in the storyline. I'm telling you, I don't care the noise that's online ripping WWE creative. And, you know, look, the releases, of course, you know, we don't like them. You know, on our shows, we understand them. And, you know, we talk the logical reason why all the releases are happening. That doesn't mean we have to like it. But, you know, I think the creative for WWE has really amped it up a notch the last couple of weeks. But I do find myself, you know, I'm doing this 25 years now, and I do find myself the last 10 years or so with the same repetition that I know you have as well, that once we get around Royal Rumble time, from Royal Rumble to about a month after WrestleMania, it just seems like people got fires lit under their asses.
Oh, yeah. Christmas, dude. This isn't just our Christmas as podcasters. This is our Christmas as wrestling fans. Because even if you're not a big WWE guy, you know, people do like the Royal Rumble. But even if you're not a big WWE guy, all the other promotions ramp it up, too. All of your other promotions, all the way down to indies and local promotions, everybody gets jacked up for the next few months. So it's almost like it's not even just a WWE thing. It's wrestling as a whole. And I think if you're a wrestling fan between January and April, you're probably enjoying yourself pretty much.
By the way, you know, for everyone out there, you can write in the chat room. I'd love for all of you in the comment section after. And I really mean this because this is feedback for the shows. You know, this little template I was messing around with myself. And just trying to learn a little bit in animated stuff and everything. This is not a Fido project. But I'm curious, of tonight's show, which do you like better? Do you like this, which is a little bit more plain, or do you like it with a little bit extra graphics? I'm curious. Old or new? So I'm curious. See. So it's going to be interesting. I mean, look, the Royal Rumble is obviously coming up. I think they needed Riddle and Orton. This is why I think Saudi Arabia could come into play. You know, you start looking at this roster and you want to fill, you know, that roster for the Royal Rumble. You want to put, you know, big names in there. And Riddle and Randy Orton being in the Royal Rumble is two very important slots. If they're tag team champions, then they likely have to defend their titles at the Royal Rumble. So by having them drop it right now, both of them can be in the Royal Rumble. And then once the Rumble is over, they can get their rematch clause, and then maybe it's booked for Saudi Arabia. Just ideas. I'm just trying to throw some ideas out there. But congratulations to Alpha Academy. I feel really good for both guys because Otis, you know, man, I mean, you go back to, you know, when he had the long hair and then the stuff with Mandy. And, you know, to see
but that all got cut off, which is really sad because Otis and Mandy, that storyline was over really well. But that was a storyline that needed the audience to be a part of it. And unfortunately, right when that storyline was at its peak, was right when everything started getting shut down. People weren't allowed into buildings. The COVID stuff was going on all crazy. So it was really just a poor timing with that that really squashed that storyline. Because, yes, they did technically finish it off, and we saw what happened with Mandy and Otis. But it was really just kneecapped. The entire story was kneecapped by the circumstances at hand. So I always felt bad for Otis not being able to get his shot. And I remember even myself and Joey on Wrestling Soup, we were talking about that too, that one of the biggest tragedies coming through as far as WWE was at the time was the fact that Otis and Mandy both got kind of killed out of that storyline. So,
by the way, you know, I still remember when Tucker got released.
Oh. Tucky,
and
yes.
He was gonna spill the beans, and I feel bad, but let's just throw it out there. What has he done?
No,
since
no,
been released. I mean, right. You go back to 2020, and you know it's pretty interesting to see, you know, and this is over the years we've seen it a lot. We saw it with the Highlanders, we saw it with the Heartthrobs, we saw it with a lot of people that.
Ascension.
Yeah, the Ascension, I mean, they just literally just drift away. Mm-hmm. You know, it's pretty wild, but I'm happy for Alpha Academy tonight. Absolutely happy for them. So, all right. You know, I didn't mind the Street Profits and Damian Priest versus Ziggler Rude and Apollo Crews. The lack of them talking about the tag team titles, especially right after Alpha Academy winning, you know, just you know, or you know, whatever Dawkins does. I see, I have to hear him before I could do an impersonation, but you know, mostly thinking about the Royal Rumble. But we had a 6-man tag, a lot of fun, but once again, something you and I picked up on a couple of weeks ago, that WWE wanted to start giving Damian Priest a few losses. But they will not do it in singles competition. Damian Priest in 2021, I think we talked about it, in singles competition, he might have been like 59-1.
Yeah.
59-1. Like right around that. Now in the last 6 weeks, he's lost like 3 or 4 matches. But there's always a tag team partner involved or disqualification. And what happens tonight? He loses again.
I know. It's really weird, too, because, I mean, he was with the Prophets tonight. Obviously, he's playing more of a heel character. That was a very heel-based tag team match, 3-on-3. I don't know, man. He was reminiscing about his first year, how he came in big. I mean, he's cutting this promo, right, talking about how amazing his first year was. He made the references to Bad Bunny. And it's like, yeah, dude. As a baby face, which is difficult to get the crowd on your side as a face in 2021. But he did it. He accomplished one of the most difficult things you can do as a wrestler in WWE. And he's like, oh, and now I'm going to complete it by winning the Royal Rumble and going on to whatever belt is going to be on this shoulder. And I'm thinking to myself, I'm like, dude, I just don't like him as a heel, DT. I really don't. I thought this guy had something special. He almost had, do you remember when Batista was a heel with Evolution, but Batista was like hinting at being a face? He'd roll his eyes when Triple H cut a promo, or he'd sit there and he'd just kind of like, you know, whatever. Like he doesn't believe half the shit these guys are saying. Damian Priest had that Batista swagger when he was a face.
Wardlow reminds me of that now.
Who does?
Wardlow. Reminds me of that now.
I can see, yeah. No, Wardlow definitely. But that's a little more on the nose, though. Because, I mean, when they're slapping him around saying, hey, MJF needs his cell phone and his snackies before his match, like, that's a little on the nose with Wardlow. But with Damian Priest, it was kind of in the background. Like, Damian Priest is smarter than the programming. And I think that he actually accomplished that as a babyface, which was a lot of fun. But I almost feel like he's regressed a little bit. Like he's kind of become a trope. And I'm just not really feeling Damian Priest as a heel.
Yeah, I think they might be. This is what I think it is. I don't think they're planning on turning him heel, but I think they're trying to do this little bit of an attitude so he can have more opponents. That's why, look, the first night he did it, we said that he looked like the Incredible Hulk. Remember the Latino Incredible Hulk? El Incredible, whatever I said that night.
Incredible.
Yeah, blah, 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 blah,
blah, blah. Yes.
All right. La Incredible Hulk. But, you know, like getting disqualified and not listening to the referee, you know, the Ricky Ricardo snap, you know, that's kind of heelish. So I think there's only so many heels that he could face on Raw. And I think by doing this, you know, maybe he will get a match against Montez Ford. Maybe he will get a match down the line against Angelo Dawkins. Maybe he will get a match down the line against Riddle or somebody else. So that's the only thing I can think of. But tonight, you know, Ziggler with the zigzag on Angelo Dawkins, you know, gets the win. And another Damian Priest loss, but not in singles competition. So
right.
Seth Rollins tonight comes out, you know, some things that are guaranteed, three things guaranteed: death, taxes, and Seth Rollins beating Roman Reigns every time. He didn't need an advocate to get the opportunity against Roman Reigns. He didn't want that penguin-looking advocate. He's Seth freaking Rollins. Big E comes out to confront Seth Rollins. They end up having an impromptu match.
Hold on. Before you go too much further, I want to interject a question before you get too much further in that. Miz and Maryse come out together. Beth and Edge come out together. Other couples come out together. Why does Becky never come out with Seth?
Because they don't want to have them commingling in matches. I think that's the only reason for a promo.
I mean, even for the promo.
They do name drop each other, but...
I know, but I'm just saying, like, other couples come out there even during promos. When Maryse is coming out there, I mean, over the years, too. You know, well,
Seth did say in a promo a week or two ago that he's got his hot wife, and he talked about his kid.
Right.
You know, they do name drop it a little bit, I think.
I know. I'm just curious why they don't physically come out. Because don't you think their promos would almost mean more if they came out as a united front?
Yeah, I agree with you. I just think that, you know, I remember when they started coming out together, and that was right at the time that they did the storyline with Baron Corbin and Lacey Evans. And it was horrid, but not just because of the storyline, but what I remember is, you know, like she's the man and what is he, you know, like it felt weird. There was a weird dynamic there. And
well, I know that, and people are saying that they've come out before. I mean, well, they had a match against Baron Corbin.
Yeah.
And Mania with Lacey Evans. Like, I mean, no, I realize that they've done it before. I'm just kind of curious that we're at this point. Seth and Becky have both made it very clear that they're together, that they're married, that they have kiddos. Becky's been gone because she was, you know, she had the kiddo and she was recovering and stuff like that. Like, their lives are not a secret to the WWE audience. And I'm not even talking about the IWC. I'm saying the actual WWE universe, like they're very open about that. That's why I just think it's interesting that they don't try to unite that front together. Yeah,
I guess it depends on who the opponents are at the time.
Right.
Like if the opponents fit that narrative, like if they come out more as a couple right now, now you got Doudrop in the mix with Becky, like who offsets her? You know what I mean? I don't know. But, you know, tonight he comes out. You know, he is looking forward to the Royal Rumble. Big E comes out, and Big E, you know, for those that didn't know, when Big E said that he's as excited as Gritty, Gritty is the mascot for the Philadelphia Flyers. So for
people,
that wasn't a hood reference, which was pretty funny because I'm saying that because I swear to you, I forgot the mascot. And I'm not going to lie to you. I went online to see. I'm telling you, I went online to see, okay, what did Gritty mean? And I
Y'all watched some Gritty?
I watched white person after white person after white person. And like, you know, to my friends of color. You know, like, what does Gritty mean? Like, why? Because Biggie is black. Gritty means it's a hood reference. It was, I'm telling you, you got to go on social media. Right. Look up Gritty and WW. You'll see it all over the place tonight. People immediately thought it was a hood reference. Yo, we're Gritty tonight. Oh, shit. But, you know, Biggie is looking forward because he wants to win. He's in the Royal Rumble match. And he's looking forward to winning the Royal Rumble. And if Seth beats Roman at the Royal Rumble, then it'll be Seth Rollins versus Big E at WrestleMania. I'll be honest with you. I don't think that match may happen at WrestleMania. Because tonight on Raw, it felt a little bit too decisive of Seth Rollins getting the win over Big E. I mean, with the curb stomp and, you know, look, I'm not worried about Big E. And I was going to save this for a little bit later, but I'll just say it in a very generalistic sense. Big E just did an interview with Sports Illustrated. It is definitely worth a read because it comes across Big E. I know we see a lot of the goofiness on the camera and he's, you know, you see at the house shows and he's always doing the mannerisms, try to get the opponents to crack a laugh. But he comes across this interview, such a good guy, very professional, doesn't like that he lost the title. Nobody that's a champion wants to lose the title. But he comes across that he understands why it happened, and it just lights a fire for him to, down the line, get it back. Like, there is no black thing, you know. You see today, you know, that too many people try to base color a lot.
Yeah.
And, you know, just because he lost it, oh, it's a black thing. You know, WWE, it's not that. It's just right now, going into WrestleMania, money, it's a little bit different. And Big E, you know, people, I think, enjoyed him chasing the title more than him actually having the title. But go out of your way and read that interview. I really, really enjoyed it. It'll also make you feel a little bit better, even though he lost tonight against Seth Rollins. I am pretty confident that Big E's future in WWE will be just fine. He will be champion again. Right now, you don't want him to keep the title just to have the title. It doesn't fit into the cards. Could he win the Royal Rumble? Absolutely. But him losing to Rollins today made me feel like, I don't think Rollins and Big E is in the cards for WrestleMania.
Right.
But it was a good match, though.
Yeah, it was.
It was a very good match. All right. Let's talk. Yeah, you know what? Let's just get basics out of the window. I know.
What? Oh, shit. Sorry. Wrong picture, guys. Dear Lord.
That looks bad.
Maurice was.
Yeah, let's talk about Miz and Maurice. Yeah, we have Beth on the cutting edge. They pay a really nice tribute video to her. Well deserved.
Yeah.
Edge is putting over his wife. Between him and Beth, they have 35 titles. They're the only couple in the WWE Hall of Fame, which honestly baffles me. I did not realize that. Something tells me that's got to be wrong. There's got to be a woman in the WWE Hall of Fame. Well, Miss Elizabeth's not in yet, right? She's not in yet. She got divorced with Randy Savage, but there's got to be a couple from yesteryear. Maybe not. You know, couples that were still married, but he's putting over Beth Phoenix. Miz and Maurice come out, and Miz has his own video package for Maurice.
Yes.
But I saw your tweet earlier that, what did you say about milk?
Yeah, I said kids do a body good.
Yeah.
Dear Lord, kids do a body good. Maurice is, She's feeding for the whole family, it looks like. She's doing okay for herself. She looks really good, and it was kind of funny, too. I will give Miz, or whoever, obviously not Miz, but, you know, the people that put that production together, they really did show how hot Maryse has been over the years and how she's changed, and she's just still just as hot as she ever was. She really is. So I liked it, though. It was a real good back and forth, and I love the surprise of it where Miz is just talking shit. And he's hyping it up. He's like, Maryse is going to kick the crap out of you, Beth. And Maryse bolted out the back. And Beth, you know, who Beth is not really seen as being this strong promo. Man, she got on the mic. Edge pumped her up a little bit, saying that, you know, there's a lot of people that would like to fight, but not my wife, you know. And Beth did a good job of saying, hey, you know, if she doesn't show up, I'll be happy to knock your teeth down your throat. And I was like, all right. That was good. That was a good back and forth exchange. There was me and a bunch of people up on the Discord. We were laughing. We were enjoying it. It was a good segment overall. And Miz played a good role. I mean, yeah, it was fun.
I have to admit, I swear this is not a lie. Back in the day when Maryse would be more involved in matches, that I actually found myself a couple of times at home in the mirror trying to, like, do the same thing that she does when she walks down the ring and there's noise and she goes like this. Like,
yeah.
I used to go in the mirror, Austin, and I'd be like,
you know what's funny? Austin Theory did that tonight to, what's his name? To Waller.
Yeah, Grayson Waller,
He did that Maryse thing tonight to Waller, and I laughed my ass off at it. But, yeah, no, it was even funnier when you had Miz trying to speak French. Oh, dude, I really wanted him to embarrass himself and just go down the French stuff. I really did.
You know what's interesting?
It's just, yeah.
You know what's interesting? Maryse and Beth Phoenix are only about 2 years apart.
Right, right.
Maryse turns 39, I think January 20th or January 21st. Beth Phoenix turned 41 in November. So they're only a drop over 2 years just, apart.
Right.
Makes you think that they're so much older, and they're really not.
Dude, and I see people saying it's going to be a terrible match.
Oh, it's going to be a Gaga
match. Are you really expecting this to be a four-star classic? This is about the Gaga. This match is totally just going to be out there to enjoy seeing what happens. This is not a match. This is not something that people are going to reference in the history books. This is a match just to have fun watching two dudes watch their wives kick the shit out of each other in the ring. That's what it really is going to be. And we get to watch. We get to enjoy.
Absolutely.
Maryse's child rearing body. Yeah. I don't know how to say that right. Jesus. All right.
I'll
be quiet.
Shout out to Nier. Had chemo yesterday. So far, so good. And hopefully by shot number four, they could start pulling back on some of the, as he called it, toxins, you know. But keep going, keep going.
About that. But my father's going through the same thing. He's going through radiation treatments for the next 60 days. So because he didn't want to go through the chemo, you know. So it's like, yeah, no, I have people close to me that are dealing with the same thing. So I hope you're doing okay, Nier. I really do.
My thoughts are with you too, Mitch. Absolutely.
Thanks.
Also wanted to wish a happy 36th birthday to Les Davis Jr. It actually happens in 3 minutes. Les, I was going to wait till exactly midnight. But I know when we get into the next conversation, we're probably going to go a little past midnight, and I didn't want to do it too late. So happy birthday to you, Les. Also, want to shout out from earlier, AS7607, with her daily hello. Much love to you. Hope everything is well. And Joe Punches, we saved your super chat for now. Going to be quick. Sending love. Thank you for the kind words for both of us. And Mickey James. Now,
yes,
I talked about
dear old Mickey.
I talked about this on Saturday. We continued the conversation on Sunday. I know a lot of you out there have not heard Mish's take on it. We will spend a couple of minutes right now talking about not only her, but talking about some other possibilities, dispelling some bullshit online. And I want to just clear up. Yeah, we got to dispel this AEW stuff, because this is, people are trying to use this now to get hits, to get views on YouTube, to get this.
Well, WWE, there is a thing that AEW and WWE are going to be doing together.
Yeah, we talked about
that. But it's not. Yeah, people are thinking it's going to be like crossover, Forbidden Door events. It's not going to be that, guys. I think it's like a couple of video projects, maybe a documentary using some of the wrestlers that are in AEW that were formerly in WWE.
Sure.
This is the same thing that they had, like a deal that they had with TNA back in the day. This isn't crazy. Yeah. You know, and I guess, isn't it Johnny Ace that's the guy that they're sending over to do all this stuff anyways?
He's one of the persons.
One of them, right? Yeah.
But let me clear this up right away, because I saw a few of you commenting and a few of you asked earlier, so let me just throw this out of the way. When WWE showed the video today of all the participants in the Women's Royal Rumble so far, all they said was Mickie James. They did not mention Impact Wrestling Knockouts Champion. And right away, some people online trying to cause some controversy over that. Let me just tell everybody right up front. And I know it's boring, and I know it's unsexy, but again, you know, the truth sometimes is very boring. Oh, there's nothing
about making it unsexy. Come on now.
On SmackDown, when they showed the same vignette, they did not mention Impact Knockouts Heavyweight Champion. That was Pat McAfee that said it. They aired the same package. So if you go back to SmackDown and you watch the package again, she was just announced only as Mickie James. There was no controversy tonight. What you did not hear tonight was the commentators, you know, Corey and Byron and Jimmy.
Sure.
Yeah, they did not mention it. They just treated it as the announcers. That's it.
Right.
Period. Right. You know, there's a lot of attention online. It went viral, obviously. But, you know, listen, this is how the sausage is made, everybody. When you hear that WWE is willing to do a little bit with Impact Wrestling, it's Captain Obvious. It's not just let's do one woman and that's it. So when people are reporting, our sources tell us that WWE is open to even men doing stuff. That's not news. That is common sense. Still, everyone, 3 days now since this happened, look at all those podcasts and sites that still refuse to bring up that Triple H interview that he did 13 months ago. Only 13 months ago, that WWE is open for business. But if they do any relationship with anyone, it's got to be long-term, like 10 years long-term, not minute by minute, not 3 months. They're not looking for anything like that. No one wants to bring it up because people want to insist to you that Triple H is being buried, his legacy is being killed, that they're erasing and ruining everything that he had. Let me tell you something. The only people that are killing Triple H's legacy are the very people that you read the websites, you read the tweets, and you listen to their shows. They're the ones killing Triple H's legacy, because for the everyday wrestling fan, they see the releases, it sucks, but they still watch WWE. The ratings this week, every promotion this week, and I'll show you all the ratings right now. We might as well get it out of the way, and then we'll talk about Mickie James. Every promotion this week had a ratings increase, which is great. Now, let me also, as you're looking at the ticker, Rampage had 588,000 viewers, an increase of 29%. Let me just remind everyone that last week was New Year's, and the week before was Christmas. If you go December 17th, the week before the holidays, the Rampage rating is only up about 17,000 viewers. So when people are trying to gloat today and like, oh my God, it's up 30% and Hook and this and that, the last 2 weeks have been holiday. So if you really want to play semantics, and that's why last week I didn't put a number next to SmackDown. SmackDown is up 534%. Why? Because they were on FS1 New Year's Eve, and it only did 358,000 viewers. So This week, every promotion, including Impact, every promotion this week, their ratings went up. That does not happen often. It's been a good week for wrestling. And now right. with WWE right. willing to do a little bit with Impact, that's a good thing. That is a good thing. So now, since I know a lot of you out there remember Mish and I's discussions on Mickie James when she was let go, the garbage bag and everything else, Mish, since you were not on with me on Saturday, Sunday, what's your thoughts on Mickie James being in the Royal Rumble?
Well, I didn't knee-jerk react like a lot of, yes, like a lot of people did. My thought was a real simple one. I just kind of thought that WWE and Vince and Nick Khan and everybody else maybe wanted to give Mickie a payday to kind of erase how Mark Carano handled the fucking the garbage bag situation. I just thought WWE kind of wanted to be nice. That's all I thought it was. Here's a payday. You come in for Royal Rumble, then you're out. I don't think Mickie's signing a long-term written deal. I don't think that this is any kind of big thing. It's not crazy to think that at the Royal Rumble, WWE picks up a bunch of people just for the Royal Rumble so everybody can have a good time, and then everybody goes back on their way. Now, will they mention Impact? Will they mention the fact that she's a champion? They might. I don't think that means anything either. I think that's just paying respect to somebody that they have on the card. I don't think it's necessarily opening up the door for an Impact invasion. But at the same time, I think WWE is just doing the right thing. Look, the Mark Carano incident went over like a fart in church. People love Mickie James. I love Mickie James. I think she's a fantastic wrestler. And I think that the way that her exit was handled was a little suspect at best. Right. So the fact that they called her in doesn't surprise me. Royal Rumble's a time where we get to see a lot of people come back that we haven't seen in a while. Why not Mickie James? They're bringing back Lita. They're bringing back Summer Rae. You know, like, there's going to be other women that might show up. Because what did they mention? 19. They brought back the Bellas. Ah, oh, they brought back the Bellas. Jesus Christ, DT, please let it be a one-off. Oh, holy shit. I don't want the Bellas to be here any longer than they have to be. But they brought back Mickie James, and I'm okay with that. So I'm hoping that the rest of the girls that show up for the Royal Rumble, I hope we get a couple more surprises that we don't expect yet. I hope they didn't let all the cats out of the bag, per se.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think the Mickie James thing is just WWE doing something nice, WWE recognizing that Mickie James is a phenomenal talent, a well-known and recognizable talent to WWE, and something that the fans will like. Xander's, and Michelle McCool, Xander's Undertaker's saying, wife, you're right. I totally forgot about her, too. Yes.
Xander is saying, why not just surprise everyone? Look at all the news. Look at all the buzz. Yeah. You put the names out there now to get people to want to tune in, to get people to talk about it, to get people, you know, Impact Wrestling. You know, I saw a few people say, what a rub for Impact. In what way? In what way? No, nobody from WWE has showed up on Impact yet. And I said, if right. that even happens, let it be Reggie. You know, let it be R-Truth. Let it be Dana Brooke.
Let, you know,
let
him you.
Run around with the 24/7 title. And listen,
you think that there's going to be more surprises, right? You don't think,
there's going to be a little bit more. Absolutely. I think it may happen more on the house show circuit than anything else. I brought it up on Sunday, I think a little bit more than Saturday, but I think that this is WWE's way of when they need to have a few people on a show, especially for house shows, because the roster has been thinned out so much and because of scares with Omicron and everything else, that if they can put two or three people on a house show and in response, you know, give Impact, you know, cover some of the pay or give them, you know, work out something with footage or something like that. You know, there's a lot of ways that it could be repaid. And look, even in baseball, we're not doing trades here, but in baseball, sometimes when two teams work out a deal, sometimes they'll say a player to be named later. So the WWE, it could be a favor to be named later. But nobody is showing up on Impact yet, so there is no rub. Everybody online right. knows where Impact airs. It's on Access. If people really want to watch it, they will. And yeah. AEW was all over that show, and AEW, for 1 or 2 weeks, the ratings had a nice increase, and then by the time Kenny Omega was out of there, the ratings were worse than they were before because yeah. Impact Wrestling, you know, didn't have enough faith in their own roster. Now they're working on that. I think Impact is doing good. But like I said, people need to remember this in closing with the Mickie James.
Oh, stuff. Kelly too.
I forgot about Kelly. But people yeah. need to remember this. Remember, this is why the Triple H interview with ESPN is so important. When Triple H talked about what Vince wants, and he yeah. said, if they work with another promotion, it's got to be a long-term deal. Not 3 months, not minute to minute, but like 10 years. So is Mickie James, for one spot in the Royal Rumble, is it worth this perception that a forbidden door has been opened? Scott D'Amore talked about it. Mickie James talked about it. Everybody on the net talked about it. If this was just to make things right for Mickie James, do you think there would be all this talk, all this buzz by the parties involved, but there was nothing else going to happen after that? Yeah, you got to think.
But you know what? Wrestling loves to pull the wool over our ICT.
Yeah, but there's a little different.
I understand what you're saying, but I mean, at the same point, boy, oh boy, wrestling loves a good bullshit story, doesn't it?
Absolutely. But, you know, let's also keep this in perspective, everyone. You know, I see some of these YouTube channels, and I saw that I was doing some searches to see, like, who is really talking about this the right way. And look, people have their opinions, that's fine. And I see in titles, you know, big Impact AEW star to appear in the Royal Rumble. You know, that's tacky. And that's terrible. But the idea,
I think that's hope though too. That's another thing that as wrestling fans we have to deal with. There's a lot of people that fantasy book. There's a lot of people that live within their fantasies of how they want things to happen in wrestling. Not business, not in reality, but in fantasy. And right. I think a lot of the idea of this being the opening, the Impact invasion of WWE is that fantasy.
Right.
Because they want to see something wild happen like that. That right. doesn't make it true.
Right. But fans fantasizing is fine. You and I fantasizing what could happen or what we would love to see is one thing. People right. reporting it as news.
Yeah,
you
well,
can
that's...
go on YouTube right now. Titles in multiple right. different people. AEW star to appear at the Royal Rumble.
Well, but we know what those people are. So, I mean.
Oh, let's dispel something else, too. We'll get back to Raw so we can wrap it up. Alexa Bliss. The road to returning to Raw began tonight. Now, I watched websites for the last 5 days reporting news that Alexa Bliss changed her look. Think I'm kidding? Yeah. Wrestling Edge or wrestling-edge.com is the biggest culprit of them all. Alexa Bliss changes her look prior to Raw return. I want to share with everybody what that change in the look was. Ready? Look closely, everybody. This is Alexa Bliss from about 3 years ago. Right? You see her left ear? See her left ear? Okay. We're going to zoom in on her left ear. Right? That is her left ear from a couple of years ago. The big change that people were reporting was this. She went to get new piercings. Now, if you look at where the holes are, all right? Look, go back. Oh, wait. Yeah. Go back. Look at this. We got like two at around 11 o'clock at midnight. We got one at 6 o'clock, one at 7 o'clock. And now we go back to this one. Oh, look, there's one at 11 o'clock at midnight. There's one at 6 o'clock and one at 7 o'clock. Oh, she added one at 9 o'clock. A fucking earring. One piercing. Go on those websites and go look at it. Alexa Bliss changes her look prior to Raw return. Fucking assholes. That's the garbage that's out there.
Maybe we're wrong, DT. Maybe she has other piercings that we haven't seen yet.
Oh, that's
maybe true. She has new piercings elsewhere. See, you have to think outside the line sometimes.
You know what's terrible? Fucking terrible? Let me tell you why I don't pursue to get verified on Twitter. This is why I don't pursue to get verified on Twitter. Those cocksuckers are verified on Twitter. You know why?
Yeah, of course.
They put something out like that. It gets a whole lot of attention. And they do this over and over again. And then when it comes to being verified, hey, look, we trended. Look, we have all these articles online. Look, with this. And like, oh, okay. And that's how a lot of people are getting verified right now. Don't you see how everybody out there has now become a journalist? That they write some bullshit blog, Roman Reigns' greatest year ever. And then you read it, and it sounds like a 10-year-old wrote it. But then they write it for Sportskeeda, Shitskeeda, or whatever the other sites are. And then they put a couple together, and then they run to Twitter and say, oh, look, I write for this big website. And then they get verified. That's why I don't pursue it. I've been doing this shit for 25 years. And the level of stuff that we broke, especially back in the 2000s, the 2010s, and all the stuff, and I have to go through like all, fuck that. Hell no. So anyway, let's talk about Alexa Bliss. She's seeing a psychiatrist, I guess it was. And at first, that balls thing, you know, the whatever that is, I forget what that's called. She uses the mind power to stop it. But then her mind couldn't do any other, like, telepathical things. She had to pick up everything.
Oh, I think her mind was doing telepathical things to me. I mean, when she was reaching over, and what did she say? Help me get better, or help me. She said something. This dude looked less like a doctor and more like a dude who was winning an AVN award for best mouth fucking.
I was just going to say,
I mean,
if we didn't know what this was, you expected it to be a scene from a X-rated film.
It was. It was a total porn scene. He's wearing all black and he's all slicked up. He's even got his legs spread, DT. Did you notice the way he was sitting? He was sitting like there was going to be a magical head to fall in his lap. A magical head. And she's over there leaning in and she's going, yeah, you can fix me. That's what she said. Fix me. And I'm like, and I mean, he's even doing this. They're even doing this on the screen. Corey Graves is even making subtle jokes about the whole thing. Dude, it was totally pornographic.
It was an interesting segment. I think when people 5-6 months ago said that she was going to come back with complete transformation, I truly think that if she becomes cured, I think she may actually come back with a lot less makeup and, you know, the look that she has right now. It would be pretty funny if we end up where she is in the chair acting all like, you know, like educated and calm and all it. And then the guy flips out. That would be pretty funny.
I just saw the Bray Wyatt influence tonight. I saw the whole, there was no change, obviously, other than maybe that one ear piercing or so. There was no change in Alexa Bliss's attitude. There was no change in her character. There was no change in even her wardrobe. She was wearing the same stuff that she left with. I don't know.
To me, it felt like more of she should have went to anger management.
Yeah, they should have had Dr. This would have been a perfect time for them to dust off Dr. Shelby, wouldn't it? Instead of getting this porn actor on here, they could have dusted off Dr. Shelby, and not only would fans immediately recognize who Dr. Shelby was, but people would have enjoyed the angle in a completely different way. Like, that whole segment would have actually been funny, and people would have known that because we've seen what Dr. Shelby has done with other wrestling characters, Kane, Daniel Bryan, over the years that we enjoyed and thought was funny. So it's like, they missed an opportunity here. They missed an opportunity to actually get Alexa Bliss a little bit over. Yeah.
Well, for those in the chat room questioning why are they even doing this, I think the end result is she's either going to be cured or they got to go do one of two things. Either she's going to be cured or she's just a hopeless cause.
Yeah.
And I don't think they're going the hopeless cause route. But again, there's a big difference between a psychiatrist and anger management. Two totally different things. And this felt better suited for anger management.
Yeah.
But look, I think Alexa Bliss, you know, it still sucks that Bray Wyatt is gone. I think he will be back. Hell, I was joking with someone earlier that I wouldn't surprise me if Braun Strowman was in the Royal Rumble. Not saying it's going to happen.
That'd be kind of cool, wouldn't it?
I'm not saying it's going to happen, but, you know, for a payday, hey, you know, you want to go in the Royal Rumble, we'll give you whatever it is, you know. Trust me.
You can sign a couple autographs, say hi to your old friends.
Yeah, may happen.
Shit, I'd like to see Ryback come at the Royal Rumble.
Look, I'm not putting this on the level of Bruno Sammartino or Bret Hart, but if Mickie James can mend fences, where she's going to appear in the Royal Rumble, there's a lot of other people. That's why I always say it on these shows. We could scream, yell, put things down, curse, or we could talk educated about it. These people are in the business. This is what they do for a living.
Right.
When people get released and you keep hearing people, what are you fucking stupid? Why the fuck are you signing with the Petey Williams? You don't fucking see what's going on. What are you, Roxy? You're doing a tryout? What are you fucking bent? What are you stupid? No, this is what they do for a living. Killer Cross, Scarlett, tons of other people have said publicly, look, we know what we're getting into. We know the risk. This is what they know. So you still see people signing and people coming back and you see them working things out because it is just business at the end of the day.
Right.
Mickie James even admitted with the garbage bag thing that she realized that it wasn't personal, that it wasn't like a bad episode of Beavis and Butthead. Was that Natty?
No, that's Summer Rae, but I can't get the picture set.
All right. I was going to say, that looks like Natty's lips.
I got some Summer Rays. There we go. There's some more Summer Rae.
Okay.
This is current. This is Summer Rae now.
Well,
so.
I could do this. There you go.
There
it's
you
not
go.
Perfect picture, but there you go. All right.
She's still in shape, DT.
Yes. Yes, she is. I don't know what she will be able to do in the ring, but I'm sure it's not going to be a whole lot. I'm sure it's not going to matter. I'm sure a lot of
dude,
girls.
Dude, it's funny. I see people in the chat already saying, where's the nose? Dude, she fixed her nose.
Yeah.
I don't know if people realize this, but over the last, I think it's, I want to say like 8 months, she's fixed her nose. So that weird kind of, but people forget her nose was messed up because of football. Like she had it broken because she was in lingerie football and she was actually kind of a badass back in the day. So anyways.
Well, you know, this is their business. And it, for most people, we take it, I always say it, it seems like regular folk are more upset than the people themselves released. But when you see people still coming back, I mean, they know what they're getting into. They know the risk that's involved. So, hell, you know, to think that just because somebody was released in the last 2 years, I'll never show up again. You know, that's not necessarily the case. You may see a familiar face pop up here and there. And who knows? Who knows? But you will see, I think, Bray Wyatt back sooner than later. Let him do the movie. Let him do his other stuff. You know, the bigger names that got released, just take note that the bigger names and the ones that don't game, the ones that don't do cameos, the ones that don't do OnlyFans. Take note that those big names that don't do any of that stuff, we haven't seen anybody pick them up with any substantial contracts. You know, they get hired for 3 months, and that's it. Because they can't afford it.
So as a fan, let me ask you, so as a fan, who are you expecting this year in the Men's Royal Rumble to make a reappearance?
I'm not sure. I haven't, you know, like it hasn't soaked in yet. I know a lot of people think like Moose and stuff like that. I'm like, you know, they're doing 70, 80,000 viewers. This week they did 100,000, which is good. On Wednesday, I'm going to talk about the Ring of Honor event that's happening April 1st. There's a lot of ties that I have to get into on Wednesday.
I kind of wanted to throw this out there because it's a little bit of a segue into a topic. I don't think you've gotten into it yet. But have you seen the idea that people think, and I don't give it any credit, but I'm not sure, that John Moxley, Dean Ambrose might make an appearance at the Royal Rumble? Any thought to it at all? No thoughts?
That's fantasy. And look, if people want to fantasize that, that's cool. I'm 100% behind it.
Right. But no, I'm just asking you what you thought. I don't even know.
He came out with a book and trashed WWE pretty good. You know, with him going into rehab and the love and the family atmosphere with AEW, if John Moxley is going to return, he's going to return to AEW. Or an indie event just to do a run-in or something. Him showing up in the Royal Rumble, I think that is just very, very unlikely. Because you know what it is?
Okay.
Moxley, it's about his wife. It's about his kid. It's about his happiness. Him being in the Royal Rumble does not feel like it's on his bucket list. You know what I mean? Like, there's other wrestlers that I could see.
Oh, no. I get that. But, I mean, that's what I'm saying. There's the drawn conclusion, and we're at the time of year where people not only fantasy book, like you talked about earlier, but we're at the point where people will try to make logical guesses as to who's going to show up at the Royal Rumble. Now, you had people freaking out over the Shield music being played during the vignette with Roman Reigns and Seth. And then you also had the knock on the door. And it's like, it's just very weird that people are already making this correlation.
Well, they did that.
So if other people are seeing this as an option, I was kind of curious, do you see the same correlation or not?
No. And the only reason why they did the Shield stuff is to remind everyone the relationship that Roman and Seth had.
Right.
That's all it was. Right. It's not about bringing in Moxley or anything like that. That's, you know, I could picture people's fantasies. Oh, Moxley comes in to try to like smooth things out between the two. It ain't happening.
Right. Right.
Moxley, like I said, there are other, those that wrestle, you could see, like people bring up Matt Cardona. Sure, I could see that happening. You know, like brought up Braun Strowman. I could see that happening. There's a lot of wrestlers. I don't know if Maria Kanellis would return. I mean, that one, that might not. I don't know. But
Say that. Come on. Jesus Christ.
Well, you know, for the most part.
I got the Bellas back, okay? I Mistradamus'd myself into bringing the Bellas back. Don't make me get Maria, too. That's just not right. Well, like
I
said,
there's going to be a few NXT women in there. I think Raquel Gonzalez is going to be in there. I think Io Shirai is going to be in there.
Sure.
You know, we came up on Saturday, we came up about with six names. And those six names are very strong. Bayley might be making a return, and Bayley will replace Sasha Banks, and Sasha is going to be out for about 2 months.
Yeah.
So Sasha's going to miss the Royal Rumble and likely Saudi Arabia. So, you know, there's some names, but right now, Mickey is the only name announced, and good. I like it. I mean, we should just take it in as wrestling fans and enjoy it. Enjoy it.
Yep,
enjoy absolutely. It's not, oh, well, this one kicked the door down first, or this one did this, or this one did that, or what happened to the roster split, what happened to this. Just enjoy it. Just enjoy it. It's good. That's what matters. I don't need semantics. It's good. That's what matters. So, all right. We got three more things to get into as far as Raw tonight, and then we're going to get out of here. all right. You know, since the night they formed, that night I came up with the team Diarrhea. Get it? The play on words, diarrhea, diarrhea.
Yes.
Since the night that they formed, I said, I would love to see Nikki A.S.H. turn heel. I don't like the team. I wanted Nikki to turn on the WWE Universe, this almost a superhero stuff. You know, let it get to a head. And tonight, you know, Rhea Ripley thinks that they should go their separate ways. Nikki A.S.H. wants at least to know from Rhea if she really cares still and this and that. And Rhea acts like she does care. They share a hug. Rhea gives her a little kiss on the top of the head. And then Nikki A.S.H. wails Rhea Ripley. nails her, knocks her on her ass. Sorry, folks. Fantasizing that sanity is making a comeback, I don't know about that. This is about turning against the WWE Universe. This is about turning against the kids. This is about almost a superhero turning her back against her fans. This is not about the reformation of sanity. So 0.25% of wrestling fans between the ages of 28 and 44, you know, oh my God, sanity. Oh, sanity, sanity, sanity. Get it out of your head. Oh, shit. I just realized something. I'm sure you all heard it. We had the picture on there. If you heard like some weird noise in the background, I was going like this. Sanity, sanity. It's like the little kid from Family Guy. Ooh, can I have it, please?
Oh, yeah.
It ain't happening. She's going to flip out. The superhero stuff's going to go into head. Since August of last year, we've been hoping for this night. We finally got it. Yeah. They are split up. They will wail on each other at the Royal Rumble. Are you a happy camper?
Yeah. No, I'm ecstatic. I really am. And I like the way that it's going, too. I like the fact that Nikki is the one, because in my opinion, I think that Nikki's far more talented in a lot of ways than Rhea Ripley. I think Rhea Ripley has a lot of positives, but Nikki's the girl. And the fact that they broke them up because Nikki feels slighted, she's brokenhearted, and she's going to... It's kind of like... I don't want to put too much on it, but it almost feels like that moment with Shawn Michaels and Hulk Hogan... And Shawn Michaels was wearing all white. That's almost the kind of feel that I got from this. Not on that level, but I kind of feel like, you know, she's brokenhearted. Nikki is brokenhearted. And that could be a really interesting story to tell. Because it's not very often that people break up tag teams without somebody turning around and hitting them. And it's like, because I'm better than you. And it's like that,
you know,
that narrative gets so boring. But, I mean, now you have a narrative that she hit Rhea. She knocked Rhea on her ass because Rhea didn't love her enough.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, that's pretty dark. That is a pretty dark cerebral storyline, you know? So we'll see what they do with that. WWE could really fucking go all the way with this and make it something on a next level. I don't know if Nikki's capable of emoting on that level, but I believe she is. But, I mean, on the other hand, too, I could be fantasizing that this is going to be a good feud, and I could be completely wrong. Let's hope I'm not.
I think Nikki A.S.H. could get a little bit of nuclear heat on this. I'm not saying she's going to be one of the all-time women heel wrestlers in the last 10 years. I'm not going on that level. But the crowd...
There's potential.
Yeah, it has potential. I mean, I don't know if I still have it, but... A lot of you may remember when she did the superhero thing for the first couple of months, she was getting booed out of the buildings. I had made the thumbnail almost a reaction, and I actually showed video of house shows where she was getting booed out of the building. A lot of people did not like the gimmick. I mean, obviously, when they get to know the woman behind it, you know, everybody loves Nikki. She's a good person.
Right.
She's a very sweet person. You separate the character from the human being. So now you have her turning on Rhea Ripley and the superhero thing goes to head. I tell you, she will get some good heat out of this. I don't think WWE will need to pipe in that many boos for her.
No. Somebody actually just hit me up. They said, DT, do you think she can be heel Eugene?
No. She will be like obsessed, angry.
Right.
Nikki A.S.H. No. She will flip. I liked it. And you know
what? I did too. I really did too.
When Nikki leveled her, you know, there's a big size difference between the two. When Nikki leveled her, it didn't even look ridiculous. Like it did.
No, because Nikki's a stocky girl though. She's wiry. She's stocky and she's wiry. You know, Nikki's got some size to her, and I don't mean that in an insulting way or nothing, but yeah, Nikki strikes me as somebody that could actually is actually believable in the ring. So
yeah, I got to find almost a crowd reaction one. We did a few about it. That's how much we didn't like it. So yeah. I think now I'm not going to look for it now, but I like it. I like it. I want to see where it goes. Now, tomorrow on NXT, we're going to have AJ Styles versus Grayson Waller. Tonight, AJ Styles took on Austin Theory.
And
to impress Mr. McMahon, they have a pretty short match. Grayson Waller ends up interfering, causing the disqualification. So technically, AJ Styles beat Austin Theory by DQ. This is to set up the match tomorrow. The only thing I liked about it, the two things. One, like you said, when Austin Theory did that, I got to remember.
Do your thing.
Oh, yeah. He took the selfie. He snuck that selfie in with AJ Styles. That was good.
Do you think, and I saw people kind of upset by this, do you think AJ's starting to look weak?
No, not at all. I said right after Jeff Hardy left, I said that I wonder if AJ Styles is going to be the replacement for Jeff Hardy, where he is the veteran high-flying babyface that what they wanted with Jeff Hardy. And I really feel it, that that's what's happening, especially with the NXT stuff, when we learn now that it was supposed to be Jeff Hardy, not only with MSK, but also doing a few things in NXT. And now with Jeff Hardy gone, it seems like AJ Styles has picked up that ball. AJ Styles is fine. He's fine. He's going to help some of the stars of tomorrow in some way, and that's a good thing. I enjoyed it.
Yeah.
Now, Nick Sanders today, I don't think, is helping the stars of tomorrow, but interesting that WWE waited this long to do it. Omos squashing enhancement talent. He looked great. It reminded me of the Wardlow stuff. It just, instead of power bombs, it was, you know, pretty much like choke slams and stuff, or just slams.
I almost feel Omos is past this. I'm not stating that it wasn't fine and it was a good example of Omos showing his power. But considering the high caliber matches he's had, I mean, come on. He wrestled against Randy Orton and Riddle on multiple occasions. Oh, why do they have Omos facing nobodies?
Yeah.
Look, I understand that they need to find a way to keep him in this mix. And I still think it's a bad idea that they've separated AJ and Omos already and have AJ going on to do other things. Because I like Omos, and I think Omos definitely is going to be a main event contender. He's definitely a guy I can see, you know, and I know some people really can't stand the guy, but he's the real deal. He's a big dude that's not horrendous in the ring. He's a scary looking heel. Like, he's got a lot of attributes that make Omos somebody to watch, but putting him in there with jobbers, oh, I don't know. I felt like two steps forward, three steps back on this one. I really did not like it, because Omos has proven himself up against people, contenders, that are far too talented to even be in the same vein as a jobber. So,
problem,
I don't know.
We don't have too many jobbers left.
Well, I mean, what are they going to do? Bring back James Ellsworth? You know? Like, so.
I don't think that's ever going to happen again. And no, I don't think he'll be in the Royal Rumble either. But, you know, Omos killing Nick Sanders earlier. You know, too bad they couldn't do like a white boy challenge. I know it's, you know, not going to happen in 2021, but that would be interesting. Omos putting out the white
boy challenge. They need to figure it out. They can't put him in limbo like this, DT. You're going to kill him. You're going to kill him. He either needs to get with another person or he needs to get into a feud fast, because having him go out there and put on displays of power every week with jobbers is, that's not the formula. That really isn't.
By the way, big shout out to everybody who's joining us live. Thank you to everybody who is checking us out on the replay. If you enjoyed the show, spend a moment, hit that like button. It helps. You'd be surprised. So we get the main event tonight, and as we said to open up the show, Doudrop defeats Liv Morgan and Bianca Belair. So Doudrop will be facing Becky Lynch at the Royal Rumble. And
yes.
I'll repeat what I was going to say.
The Irish girls. Yeah, the Irish girls going at it.
Yeah, I'll repeat what I said before. Becky Lynch, I think there's bigger things coming in the Royal Rumble. I mean, excuse me, WrestleMania, and maybe Saudi Arabia as well. Not only that, you know, Liv Morgan. I think what we said in some ways, you know, there's just, it's not now. It's too soon. I mean, you could see that she doesn't have the wherewithal yet to lead a match. I mean, she pretty much follows everyone else. Now, do you think that Doudrop will drop the name and go back to Piper?
I don't know, man.
I don't know if they're going to do the last name, but I could see her coming back with the name Piper.
Dude, I would like them to go back to Piper, but I want them to go back to Piper, period. I don't know if I necessarily see it. It feels like that they're building up a lot of merchandise. They're building up that Doudrop name, the theme and the intro and everything. Like, they're really committed to Doudrop for whatever stupid reason WWE has behind that. But yeah, I wish they would go back to Piper Niven. Yes, she's Scottish. Sorry, I said Irish. I meant Scottish and Irish.
You know why I like this match for the Royal Rumble? Because we didn't think Becky Lynch's reign was in doubt. Like, Becky Lynch is not dropping the title right now. So if you have her lose, if you have Liv Morgan lose to her again, that hurts Liv Morgan. It definitely hurts Liv Morgan. See, the last match they had, she lost, but Liv Morgan won. Liv Morgan showed that she can hang, but she's still not ready yet. So if Liv Morgan loses at the Royal Rumble, that hurts her value quite a bit. Bianca Belair, if she loses at the Royal Rumble after losing to Becky a few times before, that is going to damage her going into WrestleMania. You do not want Bianca Belair to lose against Becky at the Royal Rumble and then win the Royal Rumble match. Doudrop is not going to be in the Rumble match now. So whoever was going to face Becky is not going to be in the Rumble match. So Doudrop was the logical person to win it. And I think people need, if you never saw Piper Niven wrestle, go on YouTube and look at some of her older work. She actually can go. She really can go.
Yeah, she can.
And believe me when I tell you, I do not expect the match between her and Becky to be very one-sided. I think people are going to get taken out of that. What they're going to take from that match is like, holy shit, she can actually go.
Well, Becky's one of those women in WWE that's not afraid to take a punch and give a punch. That's why her and Charlotte did so well together. You know, that's why even regardless of the WrestleMania with Ronda, you know, the buildup for the most part is Becky is willing to go back and forth with somebody. And if you have a girl like Piper Niven who can absolutely go, but she usually has to hold back because of her opponents, and now you give her someone that's willing to go toe to toe, I think you're going to have a really phenomenal match. Yeah. In theory, this match should be pretty fucking awesome. Yeah.
Well, that was your main event tonight.
Yeah.
Main event results from today. Tommaso Ciampa defeated T-Bar, and Pete Dunne defeated Akira Tozawa. And as we talked about over the weekend, I think Tommaso Ciampa and Pete Dunne will be in the Men's Royal Rumble. I think this is definitely leading to their appearances in the Royal Rumble. And I think that actually would be a real good thing. You know, I want to mention this, too, before we go. Two things. First off, best wishes go out to Jim Ross. He fell over the weekend in, I think it was Charlotte. He fell, took a big spill. I mean, landed really on his face, and you could see that. So Jim Ross is recovering. I think he will be able to go for Dynamite, but pretty nasty shiner.
Well, they wanted him to stay home, and he decided against that.
Yeah.
So I'm a little worried about that. And I mean, we're not going to go through the whole thing, but usually when people in their twilight years start falling down, that's when you really should be aware and careful around that. I know.
I fucked up both my feet.
Yeah, but you're not old, motherfucker. You're not old, dude. Stop it.
Yeah, but that's Jesus the second Christ. Time this year that I fell.
And I'm not wishing this, but there's a difference between you falling and, let's say, one of your parents falling. That's it's true. Far more serious
you could die
when somebody older than you. Right.
I knew somebody
and who broke their hip. I'm not saying that this is going to happen. I'm just saying that maybe people should pay extra special attention to make sure that Jim Ross is okay.
Yeah.
Because that's usually one of the signs. Yeah.
one other thing that I wanted to mention, and I'm sure you'll probably see it make the rounds now since we're bringing it up. Over the weekend, WWE had a house show in Boston. And Roman Reigns, after the match was over and the event was over, Roman Reigns got on the mic and addressed the Boston crowd. And he talked about the virus. And he told everyone, you know, he thanked them for coming. But he told everyone to please be careful that, you know, we're still in a pandemic. And I don't recall him saying to everyone to get vaccinated, but I think he had, well, I know he told everyone to be careful during this pandemic, that it could get any, hit anybody. And it was really, really cool because right now Roman Reigns, you know, the character, like you don't expect him to really break character like that. And I think especially because people were so concerned about him getting COVID, you know, with his medical history, you know, last Monday, you and I said it, yeah, and I'll take credit for it. You know, we had people that actually worked in WWE that someone and I talked to and someone else I talked to said the same. They said, look, Roman was surprised that he tested positive and he would, things were so well that they expected him to be back as early as Friday. And that's exactly what happened. He won't wrestle, you know, on TV that much. They will keep him limited to probably just one match a week. He did the house show, but it's in tag team action, so he doesn't have to work that much. But I thought that was really, really cool to see, you know, the head of the table, the tribal chief, is almost doing what John Cena used to do, you know. And you can be a heel, but you could also be very, very real and very human. And that message to the fans, I think, was very, very powerful. So it's a really cool video if anybody goes online to check it out.
Yeah. Oh, very good.
Yeah. So with that said, we're going to start wrapping this up. Mish Nia Rofe, shouted him out earlier with his chemo. He wanted to send best wishes to your dad. So I definitely
want to thank you, Nia. I appreciate that.
And a lot of people in the chat room.
Take care of yourself, and I appreciate that.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah. So we're going to jet out of here. Any final comments before we go?
No, you know what? It's nice every once in a while to have a Raw that we can, you know, mull over and enjoy and stuff like that. For the most part, you know, I hope the ratings turned out well. It deserves it this week. I mean, there's a lot of times that me and you power through some really painful Raws, but this was not one of them. And, and I'm kind of hoping that this is the precedent set for maybe the future Raws going into Royal Rumble, because like we were talking about earlier, this is our Christmas. This is really our Christmas. This is when wrestling starts ramping it up. This is when we expect more out of WWE. And in turn, we expect more out of the other promotions surrounding WWE. So hopefully next week is just as good. Hopefully SmackDown is good. Hopefully Dynamite is good. So anyways, no, thank you very much. And hopefully I'll see you guys tomorrow and Thursday.
Much love, my friend. I'll talk to you tomorrow on Patreon.
Yep.
Teaser for everyone out there, little inside thing. When you look at the title of the show, when I post it on YouTube for a preview, if you see us write the word review, that is a telltale sign that we're going to spend a few, you know, spend some time on the show at hand. If you see instead the word recap, then that means we're going to fly by very, very quickly. And if you see just the word results, then, oh, that's it. We're just reading the matches and calling it a day. So whenever you see the title, you know, now, of course, we don't know before Raw starts. We don't know how good the show's going to be. So you might see during the day, I might put WWE Raw recap. But as the show is going, if it's a pretty good show or there's a lot of things to talk about, you'll see me change the word to review. So if you ever see the word review, you know we're going to spend some time on it. If you see recap, it'll be a little bit condensed. If you see results, that's it. 60 seconds and we're out of here. So sounds like my sex life sometimes. But guys, gals, it's been great. I know in the preview, I was going to talk a little bit more about the Kenny Omega tweets, and now he's had a back and forth with Jim Cornette. We'll save that for Wednesday, since Wednesday is AEW and NXT talk. We'll talk about that. On Wednesday, we'll get into Dynamite and NXT 2.0. And on Wednesday, we're going to talk about Ring of Honor. Ring of Honor is having an event, I think, on April 1st. That is not an April Fool's joke. That apparently is happening. I want to talk about that on Wednesday for various reasons. Number one, what I said to you all a couple of weeks ago, why are we having all these tribute videos on that Ring of Honor show, Final Battle? Why are we doing that? If it's not closing down, why are we doing that? Number two, it's WrestleMania weekend. Number three, Impact Wrestling, I think MLW and some others, just so happen that they're all going to be in Texas as well. So they're basically doing what everybody else does WrestleMania weekend. They go to the state. They go within 30 miles, usually, within WrestleMania, and they hope to get the people who are in town to go to their show. So Ring of Honor will have this event. Put it this way. If WrestleMania was not happening that weekend in Texas, there'd be no Ring of Honor show. That's just the facts. But we'll talk about that in detail on Wednesday. It's a good thing. It's a good thing because you know there's going to be a lot of wrestlers getting work. But we also got to keep it in perspective why this is happening. You're being handed to you a crazy amount of fans that are going to be in town for Texas. So we'll talk about that on Wednesday. And that's it. So everyone, you know, Benjamin, milking off Mania. Yeah, I mean, we talked about that for, God, almost 20 years with Ring of Honor. But it's also smart business. You know, you think about it. You have a vending table. You have a little promotion. If you can get a spot, you know, anything. You know, if, shit, if I had my friend's food cart still, my friend used to sell sausage and peppers in Howard Beach. He used to have this little cart. He'd sell sausage and peppers, and he would sell all his Italian cooked stuff, hot dogs, and he'd make crazy money. Shit, if I could get a sausage and pepper cart to hang out outside of these venues, I'd make out like a bandit. So it's good business, but we also got to keep in perspective where it goes from here. You know, the people like, oh, sellout crowd, guaranteed sellout crowd. Well, you know, you got to think about beyond that as well. So everyone, thank you as always for tuning in. Much love, and post your feedback. Definitely post your feedback. I definitely love reading it. I spent some time over the weekend getting into a lot of comments, and I will definitely do so tomorrow as well. If you're a part of our Patreon family, patreon.com/DonTony, we are doing a show tomorrow night at 10.05 p.m. It'll be on the Patreon Discord channel. NXT looks like to be an entertaining show. You know, Pete Dunne is possibly going to the main roster. You know, it's going to be interesting to see how he does against Tony D'Angelo tomorrow. Ciampa, I don't even know if Ciampa's going to be on the show tomorrow. My concern is who goes up against Bron Breakker next. Could they do the rematch? Sure. Sure. Why not? Why wouldn't Ciampa get a rematch if you really think about it? In fact, I think they should seriously consider giving Ciampa a rematch. I don't think he would mind losing twice to Bron Breakker. He doesn't lose any cred, but we'll see. We'll talk about it on Wednesday. So, Kay Daugherty, if you scroll all the way up at the beginning of the show, I already commented, got you done. And everyone, thank you as always for tuning in. I will catch you all either tomorrow night on Patreon or Wednesday night after AEW Dynamite. Enjoy both NXT and AEW, and I'll see you soon. Be well. Take care.
As far back as I can remember, I always wanted to be a podcaster. For me to live any other way was nuts. To me, those goody good people who work shitty jobs for bum paychecks and took the subway to work every day and worried about their bills were dead. I mean, they were suckers. They had no balls. If I wanted something, I just took it. I ran everything. I paid the bills. I paid the hosts. I even paid the masked maniac. Everybody had their hands out. Everything was for the taking. We always called each other good fellas. You would always hear from somebody. You're gonna like Don Tony. He's all right. He's a good fella. He's one of us. But if you're part of my crew, nobody ever tells you they're gonna get rid of you. It doesn't happen that way. There weren't any arguments or curses like in the movies. See, your haters come with smiles. They come as your friends, the people who've claimed they care the most for your life. And now? Now that's all over. And that's the best part. Today everything is different. There's lots of action. I don't have to wait around for everything like everyone else. Oh, I didn't get the vaccine? Fuck you, vaccine me. Oh, your delivery guy has COVID? Fuck you, feed me. Right after I moved here, I ordered egg noodles and ketchup, and I got spaghetti with meat sauce. I'm no longer an average nobody, while they get to live the rest of their lives like a bunch of schnooks.